Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk Sabres hockey on WGR Sports Radio 550. Now, here's Rob Ray with Shope and the Bulldog. Brought to you by Jim Steakout, because hockey fans eat hoagies. By the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. And by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth.
At 716, where, by the way, there are balloons. And there's going to be cake.
What for?
Any guess?
Anniversary?
It's their fifth birthday anniversary. Not exactly. I remember that they opened on my birthday. Edmonton was here, lying down the street. We were here that day, November 7th, 2014. Close enough, there was no Sabres home game that night. There is one tonight. They're celebrating their fifth birthday.
They had cake at the rink today, too.
Really?
Every month, everybody that has their birthday for that month, they celebrate it one afternoon, and they bring a big old cake in and cut it up. And
is that right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what they
do. You
got
a little notification, hey, come join all the birthday people, whatever.
The players? Work in the arena.
No, not the players, team. The people in the offices.
Oh.
Yeah. So if you worked there and your birthday was in whatever.
Why shouldn't it include the players?
Why not? Maybe it does.
Maybe they have
But they
own.
Have a cake and that's got every person's name on it that it's their birthday.
In November.
So I'd want to be the guy that had, only person that had my birthday in that month. Big old cake and just your
Rob.
Name right across it. Rob.
Giant.
Exclamation mark.
Icing letters.
Question mark.
Just Rob.
Yep.
Well, you need February to have the best odds.
Is that what it is?
The fewest days.
Yeah, okay. My wife's born in February.
She got a shot at it.
Remind me about that, will you?
Sure.
Just before?
Yeah, will do. Yeah,
beginning
no problem.
Of the month?
What have you been doing with yourself? You didn't travel to Sweden. There,
yeah, but, I know. It was kind of nice.
A lot of games.
This is one of the smarter moves that RJ has made in his career by saying he didn't really want to go so we could stay home and do the games. Just give you a chance to kind of sit back and hunt a few days and be around the family and be at the rink for some games that normally I'd miss on the weekends for hockey, and it was just really nice. It was kind of today you're kind of rolling out. On the weekend, it wasn't quite the same when you did the radio and then the TV because you just could show up 5 minutes before you had to go on the air, and it was no big deal. Now there's a little more preparation. I was like, oh, got to go back to work.
What's the difference, though, really?
There isn't really.
I'm serious. What's the difference?
RJ prepares the same.
Yeah.
All he does is get the lineup blown up so he can see it, and that's it.
Do you do any duck hunting?
I love duck hunting.
You do?
Yeah.
It's the season, right?
No, it's not for a while. I don't. Well, I think it is, but the best is later on in the fall here, or the winter.
It has to be in season because they're shooting at something.
When they're going up and down the river and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's really fun is goose hunting, too, like in September. Set up in the cornfields and that after they cut them and call them in and – that's fun, too.
Just sort of, you just trick the animals,
yeah,
and birds and then shoot them dead?
Yeah.
That's
little
the,
head,
that's
little
the
brain, so kind of.
They're easily deceived.
Yeah. Until you try to get a turkey in the spring, they're the smartest sons of perches going.
Are they?
Turkeys, yeah, they're tough. Smart. They're tough in the springtime. In the fall, their brain shut off, and you could call
really?
Them right in, yeah. But in the springtime, oh, good luck.
What's
behind that?
What's up with that?
I don't know. I think in the fall, they're kind of grouping up for winter type thing.
Uh-huh.
And in the spring, it's mating season, so they're trying to get their little group together. So that's how you call them in.
I think when it's mating season, you think less.
You do. You shut up. I had a deer last night in front of me. Nice, beautiful eight. It chased this doe like in a figure eight in front of my stand for, I don't know, 15 minutes. All of a sudden, they'd stop, and the doe would pick up again, and then she'd go around and for easily 15 minutes within 15 yards of me just running around. It was neat to see. I took a video of it, sent it to my son. He's all cool. Get it, Dad. No.
No.
No. Wasn't big enough.
All right, good. I like that story.
I've grown up.
Do you did you feel it was kind of weird to have such a long break? You had the two games, but you're here. Like, you're not really around the players.
Yeah, but I think we get a little shot of that later on in January or February.
Well, it's a bye week.
The bye week, yeah. Along with the
All-Star break.
All-Star break in that once again. So you got another little dish of it. Those are the times you look for. That's why you do this job, for the weeks like that.
This is why you do this
and
job.
And off from April till the end of September.
To
October.
Not have to go to the rink. To not have to go to Sweden. This is Rob's living the dream.
Well, I got the best job ever.
You're supposed to work past April.
Rob, this is terrible.
Yeah, I know, but that's out of my control. Right. I want to work past April,
okay.
But
all right.
I just they just say go home.
Yeah,
that's
know
it,
that.
Folks.
We know
turn
that.
Out the lights.
I
go
mean,
home.
You could
see
just go do Tampa
October.
Games,
we know that from
that
January.
That would really suck if you had to get every year do that.
That would be bad, too. All those playoff games, Rob.
It would be terrible.
Just so jaded.
Well, look, they've lost five in a row.
Yeah.
They've won 5-1 their last seven. I mean, you can piece it together however you want. Whatever lead they had is evaporated. They're not leading the league in goals anymore. Their power play, while still – I think ranked pretty highly in the league,
yep.
Lost a healthy like 20% off of where they were when they were, winning all those games at the start. What kind of form did you think they were in Sweden? Friday looked a lot worse than Saturday, I think, to me.
I didn't think they were aggressive enough. I was really surprised at how physical that Tampa Bay came out on Friday. And I think it caught me off guard. I don't know if it caught them off guard because they came in and they played a pretty physical game, and I think it got the Sabres off guard a little bit and kind of sat them back, and I think that it took them a while to kind of figure that out. Third period, they came out and played, the game that they had been playing, doing the same thing to them, physical down low, a lot of rotation of the puck, taking it, but just giving way too much room. When you're playing a team of that caliber, even if they're struggling, you don't want to give guys that can handle the puck well that space, and so many times you were watching and Tampa Bay would cycle the puck down low, and then the next thing you know there'd be all five guys down below the tops of the circles and everybody's kind of chasing and it's leaving their D wide open. Bang, they hit their D, the puck's coming in, and a scramble begins again. So we didn't recover pucks in our own zone. We dropped down just kind of staring at the puck and being way too cautious, which opened up the top side. And then as soon as you did that, the neutral zone just loosened up, and they just kind of coming through the neutral zone at will. Too many times, they didn't penetrate the zone without being challenged. You don't give Kucherov and these guys the line. You challenge them at the line. You force them to dump it in or something. You don't want to let them carry it in, and they didn't do it. And it just slowly wore them down. And second game, some of the similar, but still, I think that they didn't come out angry and hungry. They just sort of sat back, okay, here we are, and generated chances. But if you're going to generate them, you got to bury them. There's enough offensive talent there. They should be put half those pucks in the net. What do they have, 40 shots or something in the second game? Or
just how much offensive talent is there, though?
Well,
there's a little bit. The top line has scored.
Yeah.
You've got goals from Reinhardt in Sweden. Like, those guys are – Skinner has really not been up there as often.
Yeah, Skinner and Johansson and VC and all these kind of guys that, Mittelstadt that you would expect and hope, maybe start contributing a little bit. They haven't been able to, and it just puts you in that bad spot. So until that happens, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to sit and rely on your power play, and if it doesn't – click, every night once or two or three times, then you're going to be in a tough position.
Yeah, what do you think, what do you guys both think about just like what the urgency level is with this program, the roster? Like, okay, so they don't have a lot of depth for scoring, and that's been true. And we heard all summer about trading for, even through the into the season, about trading for another forward, and nothing has happened yet. I mean, is this a year where – how much is riding on it? Like, every year is important.
But even the other day, I think the last time we talked, we said that forcing them maybe into a situation to make that deal, it's going to depend on if everybody's healthy and everybody's, knocking on the door and pressuring each other, for spots and opportunities in the lineup each night. And the thing is, it hasn't got to that point, because every time you're kind of knocking on that door of, okay, everybody's going to be ready to go, bang, one or two guys go down. Once again, right now, you got a couple guys down, so it kind of takes that pressure off that you know, to do something.
At least just forwards now.
Yeah. But, you know, I think still, too, you can, you know, even he says you could roll that extra D to, you know, to make sure that everybody was getting in the lineup or you're having enough guys going. So there's options for them. And you're not into that position right now where, okay, my hands are tied, I got to do something.
Well, they're getting there, and Scandella's back, so Miller will go out. I mean, Miller was a nice addition.
That's got to be a tough call.
Right. So, you know, Bogosian is still, I think, probably out on the horizon a little bit, but he's practicing with the team.
Yeah, but it's going to happen
soon. For a few weeks, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. Pilot is in Rochester. To me, he could be here if you wanted to have him here, if you had a need. I mean, They've got enough guys. It's the thing. It's the whole thing from the summer. Yoki Haru winning a spot on the team even makes that more pronounced.
Yep.
Like they've got guys that can play here if they have value around the league. Like there's still that move to be made that can supplement up front. I mean, I think,
you know, you look at your standings too because you did so well at the beginning. You're not as if you're so far out of something that you're not going to get in it. You're
right.
You know, you win the next two games and bang, you're right in the top three again.
Right.
So you're knocking on that door. So there's no urgency to go do something, and it's just sitting there and you're waiting to see what's going to play out as far as your injuries. How long is, you know, Savoca and Johansson going to be out? Who knows? I don't know.
You know, one thing that would be a pretty good way of determining what kind of urgency a team feels is if it would trade its first round pick. Like, are these guys at the point, could they get to the point where, you know, this has just been forever.
Yeah, but do you think you got enough depth yet to sit there
and say,
it's time that I feel comfortable enough to be able to move that pick?
Usually that stuff happens later.
Yeah.
And by then you'll know a lot better about where you sit.
Yeah. Right.
But you also don't want to just feel like you're stuck waiting for that. I mean, that's 3 months away.
Yeah, I don't need there to be urgency because of the standings. I just need a move to make the team better, you know, like just a measured.
Yeah, but I think those deals you don't see made now all the time just to kind of maybe shake it up or, you know, to – you don't see it. You don't see those big ones happen. You know, in the summer, yes, at the deadline, you know, you make deals. But those hockey trades – in season, how often do you see that?
I know, but that's part of the equation, right?
Yeah.
Like it wasn't done in the summer. And if the thought was we can do it when we get started, well, what are the chances? Like how often? You're right. It doesn't happen. It's harder. Apparently it's harder. They all say it is. Evidently, it's harder. The cap seems to be a good explanation for that. I don't know. Am I supposed to think this team is a playoff contender? I mean, they started very well. Now they've lost 6 out of 7, and the power play is usually not predictive. Like, the power play is where you're going to see more randomness, and the 5-on-5 is where it's at. And so this season has still really not shown the Sabres to be top quality, and very few people were expecting them to be in the first place. So
I think it's shown signs of improvement. It's shown signs that you can do things like that. You know, your power play has – you know, the makings of being a productive unit. I think you're looking at all those kind of things. They can be better if everything from maybe your top line down was going a little better as well and contributing maybe that little more. And I would even say, you know, your top line is okay. Your bottom line is good. It's the middle we got to, you know, you got to kind of work on to try to hopefully get a little more production out of.
Yep. You're trying to do
that. You know, that'll improve your goaltending and turn, you know, the overall attitude of, you know, the way you're approaching things. You're not chasing the game all the time. Too many times they were chasing against Tampa when you're not winning faceoffs and that. They were horrible at faceoffs at times there. And when you don't have the puck, you're in a bad situation when you've got a team like that. It's not a team that's going to go look to grind it out and, you know, okay, you're going to split your times along the wall and, you know, you're each going to come out equal. If you're losing the draw and you're chasing a lot, then that's a hard, hard thing to get away from.
Let's talk about Reinhart.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the scorer in Sweden, you know.
Yep.
Well, he's in the last year of a very team-friendly deal, Rob. And I think if he gets to the end of this season without a contract, He'll probably expect, I don't say this because of having known him, but I just think like he will have earned real money in the league. Do you expect the Sabres to want, like, are they, you think they're prepared for that? You think they're sort of thinking the same way and will want to make Reinhart not to the same exact level as Eichel, Skinner, Dahlin? Dahlin isn't there yet contractually, but probably will get there, hopefully. What do you think they'll want to do? How do you think they
see
him?
Well, I think that he's a big part of it, and I think he's a big part of, you know, even, say, Jack's success, because I think he's one of the few guys on the team that can get him the puck. He's one of the few guys that can hang on to the puck and make things happen. He's good along the wall. He's good down low. He takes a lot of attention away from a guy like Jack. There's got to be, your fingers crossed, that there's a spot and there's a willingness to, you know, pay the guy, but I think it's going to be it could be a pretty big number.
Yeah.
And you're going to get yourself into position now with the number of big number guys you're going to have on the team, because as you said, Dahlin, it's just going to happen. It was like, you know, these kids now, they're getting it sometimes without even earning it. It's on potential and moving forward. So it's going to be a huge number for that kid. So you keep adding those up. I know in the next couple of years you get a Poso and, you know, the $5 million deals like that, and Bogo and these kind of guys will slowly evaporate.
Next year you lose a lot of it.
Yeah.
So Scandella, if he plays out the season here, Bogosian to be another one.
So there is opportunity for it, and I don't think that I don't think it'd be a problem. I think that you would make room on your cap to try to keep a guy like Jack or Sam. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they're not at this point overburdened with forwards making big money.
No.
Right. I mean, especially, you know, with what's going to come off the books, like, they've got the room to do that.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
And you even said at the beginning of the year, Sam Reinhart, if I picked out anybody on that hockey team on that roster right now, he is the least of my worries every night going into a game.
Absolutely.
Because you know what you're going to get from the guy every night. He does the same thing every night, and he's productive doing it, and he's successful doing it. So why would you give that up?
That's right. I agree. No, I agree.
You don't.
Yeah.
You don't want it, because it's, you don't have to sit there and even if, okay, it's too much, got to move on, bring somebody else in. Well, okay, what are we going to get from this guy?
Well, here, I agree with you. Why wouldn't you? He's scoring more so far this year, but he's not like Eichel in terms of stats, you know, like hockey card stats. So that would be one reason, not a good reason, but a popular reason for how you judge a player. And the other thing is, like, what is this team's record? Right? Like, what you have here is signing Eichel and signing Skinner, you know, and maybe other guys you could think of on a team that's been losing so much, you know. Like, the argument can be...
Break that up.
Yeah, like, the argument can be, well...
It's not working.
This, what do I have, you know, in total? And I don't mention that because I think those guys are why we're losing, because I don't.
No.
But I think, you know, you could run a team and be losing every year and think that everybody could go. I mean, you could just justify anything.
Could go, but I think that you would look at it and, okay, you've got those young guys that, but you could make the room financially by those other guys moving on or, you know, being finished. And you could name three of them off that it's going to free up $15 million instantly per year. You know, so that gives you a different look. That gives you a different voice. It gives a totally different team. You got guys that have proven in Rochester that can come up and play to fill those voids at a much cheaper price, if that's what you're worried about. But I don't think it would be. But I think when they step from that, they'll be much more prepared to be consistent at this level. So I don't think it'd really be a problem, because I think if anything, you got guys there that you know, you may have to put somebody somewhere for a year and pay him Matt Molson money and see you later.
Hmm. 2 years ago, I was thinking this way about Reinhart too. Like, okay, he's going to be up, and some of you are going to want a bridge deal. I say pay him right now, all of it. Give him all of it. Because all his smart stats were really good, you know, the way he draws penalties, possession stuff. It's all really good, but he didn't have the goals, you know. And he was younger, and a lot more people were like, well, he's got to prove more or something. I mean, maybe that's over now. I don't know. But they did a very – they got through that.
They got him in an incredible number.
Got him really cheap.
Yeah. Well, and you got something else, too, that, you know, he's a very well-liked guy in the team. You know, he's a big part of the team. And all of a sudden, you know, if there is any question, and you got guys rolling into the coach and general manager going, we got to keep this guy. This guy's – you know, that puts a little added pressure on as well.
The deal is great for the Sabres. The risk within it is that this happens, like, where then you get what you should have expected to get stats-wise, and then you end up paying a lot more for him.
Right. If you could have done 6 for 36 or something 2 years ago with him, or you know, year and a half ago with him, maybe he jumps at that. That's a lot of security. That's a lot of dough. Right now, 6 for him moving beyond this year would be, I mean, you'd feel really great about that.
You still
There's no
have,
way you're going to get him at that number again.
I doubt it.
You still have his rights.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, he's restricted. So, you can still get a lot of pressure put on you from outside.
You'll end up paying more for sure now than you would have then.
Yeah.
All right, Rob.
Because those guys they're going to play the game to play it out to the end, and why wouldn't he?
Right.
Tonight we know will be exceptional. You'll be exceptional because you were here all day.
Really?
As opposed to coming in at 5 minutes before the game, right? You know it'll be a lot better broadcast.
Sometimes the first time you think about it's the best time. But not having multiple times to mull through your head.
This is the point, though, right? Like, that's why you're here all day.
Yeah.
This could be that much better.
I do a lot each day, but it's not always prepared.
Some of it is. Sometimes. All right, Rob. What's next week? Minnesota.
Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday. Ottawa Saturday. At Chicago Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not doing that one. Marty's doing that one.
You're not going
Dan.
To Chicago?
I'm
going to
do the Hall of Fame alumni game in Toronto on Sunday.
Okay. All right.
So do Saturday's game and then go up there and play that game. And I'm on Team Lidstrom, I think.
That sounds like a good team.
Yeah, but I got a little problem.
What's that?
No Lidstrom?
No, I'm on the same team with Jeremy Roenick, and we haven't spoken.
Right.
Yeah, a little situation there. So I'm kind of thinking about how that's going to play out.
Will this be the end of that? Maybe. Are you thinking that way? That you could settle it?
I'm all for it. I just, you know, I'm not sure about his side.
Not sure how open to settling it he is.
Do you think you'll take the first step?
I will. I'm mad enough to do that.
That's good.
And then if he doesn't fall into place, then I'll sucker him.
He'll never expect it from you, Rob.
I'm sure this helped.
Good luck. Good luck.
This will help things a lot.
I'm rooting for you on this.
Yeah, I hope that turns out well.
Yeah,
I'll
let you know on Tuesday. Guys.
A waste of energy.
Good.
They are. It's like you don't live forever.
Just
why be mad?
Why be mad?
Angry?
Thank you. Exactly, Rob.
Why hate?
I'm glad to know about this. Good luck.
Love.
I'm with you.
Love. Okay.
Kind of growled that. Wow.
Sorry,
all right, you gotta go.
This is, see ya.
We're done here. Have a good broadcast and good luck with all that. We'll talk to you next week. Rob's appearance with us here brought to you by Jim's Stakeout, because hockey fans eat hoagies, by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high impact gear for hardworking men and women, and by Firth Jewelers for all the moments in your life. Go forth to Firth.
Talk some Bills next and the report about a 17-game NFL season. Want to get a call in? Now's good. 803-0550. We're at 716 Sabres and Hurricanes tonight at 7:05. Mike Show.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From the Bulldog, WGR.
My neighbors are some of the best neighbors I ever had. Even in Houston or wherever I've lived, some of the best neighbors ever, really. They helped me out tremendously because I don't know, right from left when it come down to snow. And my neighbor came over with his four-wheeler and his plow, and he helped me get out my driveway. So that was the day when I guess we had 10, 11 inches, however many inches was. It's the most snow I ever seen in my life.
Ed Oliver. Always a good listen, Ed Oliver. Need him in the lineup.
I need him to be good.
Yeah,
I need him to help the team. That would be.
I like hearing him talk about snow.
That would be good. Yeah.
I'd like to see him make some plays
for
the Bills. The Bills are up to a 6.5-point favorite again against Miami, it tipped down a little bit and then back up for whatever reason. 6.5. That's a lot of confidence in a Bills team that has won mostly close games. And it's an interesting number. Like, if I didn't see myself being so close to them, like if I just did it the way I would look at any two teams, I would find that number curious. And I like to play the numbers, not the teams. So you have a Bills team that's coming off a loss to Cleveland, and the talk about them is whether they're really that good at all. And the Dolphins are coming off two wins and are home and played the Bills close here, 24-21 until the onside kick returned by Micah Hyde late. Yet, Buffalo minus 6.5 on the road. If that game were here, that number says it would be 12.5. Almost like what we've been seeing here lately is irrelevant in terms of results, right? So if what I would really do is, if I'm of right mind, not that this has to work, but I would like want to look at this game that way and be on Buffalo because I think the number is a little high.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'd want to be on Miami, but I just think like maybe everybody would because of the stuff I just said. What do you think?
I don't really have much like to offer as far as the spread goes. But it's weird how, to me, the way the week has gone, it's Thursday now, the game is Sunday, and a week 11 matchup with Miami in this season, sort of looming like it is just weird. You know, I think maybe I have a lot of company in this, maybe I don't, I don't know. Maybe more of our audience is like, I don't even know who we're playing next. I doubt it. I think most fans like to look at the schedule.
Like, the players are the only people who claim to not
right,
know
right.
Who's, what
I
the schedule
I think this
looks
game
like.
Looked like a speed bump 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. Just like, oh, whatever. Before the Bills played them the first time, it was like, all right, man, just chalk it up. Like, everything is, I'm just assuming wins now, right? Even though all the games have been close, I'm 5-1. Okay, fine, you know, and that that's, I think, gone. And this game, I feel like I don't want to say I feel a sense of dread or anything about it. It's just not as easy to expect a comfortable, unchallenging win. You know, it's just and I think, you know, that's a reasonable place to be. It's just kind of surprising that we got there. You know, I guess that's just that's the trick you play on yourself when you're having a good year and you start to think your team is better than they really are, based really solely on their record more so than on how they're playing in these games and like what the games actually, you know, look like as they're happening. I mean, you better beat Miami. You know, like, we've had a pretty wound-up week. There's been a lot of attention on Josh Allen and the offense, but mostly on Allen, and not so much like, you know, do they need – are they in crisis at the position? Do they need to make a change or anything like that? But it's just, how's this going? And, boy, you can't – I don't think I want to be around for a week where they go to Miami and don't come home with a win. I just think this thing will explode in a really nasty way if they somehow, and, you know, they were trailing 14-9 at halftime the last time they played this team. Like, it was, you know, it was not an easy game.
14-9, huh? Yeah, I guess they were.
I think that's right.
And Miami's goal to go.
Right.
Late third, 10-minute drive.
Yeah, that's right.
To pad the lead, and the right. Tre'Davious White interception happens, and the Bills take it from there.
That's right. That's exactly how it went.
Well, I mean, a lot of fans are sort of expecting it. I mean, it's kind of what we hear when seasons like this one play out. It's like waiting for the other shoe to drop, as they say, because it's happened before, and the Bills have yet to be an actual good team in, you know, how 20 years. So good starts don't do it. Sabres too, right? We're just
yep.
I mean, it's not a great trait. You don't really want to be like this, but it's reasonable. It's sort of natural to question what they have, you know. And there's been no game at all this year where you can just really 100%, in my opinion anyway, say that was impressive.
Right.
I mean, flat out, no questions asked. That is just what you do as a good team against a bad team or as a good team against another good team.
Right. The New England game is the closest you get to that, and that's a loss.
That's
you can't say it's 100%.
That's
but it is maybe the point this season. It is for me. I mean, I'm just gonna admit it. Like, it's the point this year where I felt the best about them. That they could do that to New England was the reason why, okay, fine, keep this record going. I don't care who you're beating, but win these games against, you know, Cleveland, whatever, however bad they are, and you don't get respect for them, just have a record that's close enough to New England when I go see them again, because I think there's reason to believe I can play them close again, even though it's there. And that is the walking off point for any optimism about the season in a larger sense than just, you know, what the record is, was off of a loss to New England. Not any of the wins for me. That's just me now, all right? So that's kind of weird, right? Like, that was it was a loss. You know, we say it all the time. They don't always get killed by New England. And there was another example of them not getting killed by New England. And I'm sort of it just shows you how flimsy the whole structure was to begin with.
Can you put a banner up?
Like, how good?
Did
how,
not get killed.
How good
by
am
New
I?
England.
Well, I confused Tom Brady. He had a bunch of three and outs.
Confused banner.
Right.
Confused Tom Brady.
Right.
Held New England to 11 first downs. Well, you know, here we go again. Can the Bills take it to one of the league's worst teams in Miami? 6.5. A lot of people seem to think that's what should happen in this game. We'll talk to John Clayton about Bills Dolphins and elsewhere, week 11 in the NFL. Also, the latest with this Colin Kaepernick workout. We now have 11 teams named as being expected to be present for that, not including the Bills. Really strange in a lot of ways, this thing with the Kaepernick workout on Saturday in Atlanta. And we'll talk to John Clayton about that, too. The Sabres have Carolina here tonight. And speaking of Carolina, it's time now for Taco Bell Throwback Thursday Trivia. We'll give you the question here, take a break, and then come back with the answer. This is a Twitter contest. Tweet at WGR550 the answer to the upcoming question with the hashtag TacoBellTBT. Of course, Carolina, 2006, that fateful series in the Eastern Conference Finals that year. There was one Sabre to play in Game 7 of that series that is still in the organization as an active player. Who is that player? In the organization presently as a player right now.
The player is in the Sabres organization?
Yes.
And was with Carolina?
And was with Buffalo.
Oh.
And played in Game 7 in 2006.
Wow.
Who is that player?
I'm stumped.
Hint.
I don't know about you all.
It's not Chris Drury. Okay. All right? I'll just give you that hint.
I knew that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, whoever gets the correct response through first is going to get a $25 gift card to Taco Bell. We'll get the answer for you on the other side of this break.
It's a good prize. That goes a long way.
Oh, yeah.
It's like three.
Yeah, that's three runs.
Trips, three runs.
Sure, just if you're going stopping for lunch yourself. Yeah, right.
About three.
I think so.
Maybe four. We'll have the answer for you after the break. And then John Clayton, also Jason Botterill next hour from here at 716. There's also cake here today as they're celebrating 5 years at 716. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Back at 716, we are ready to give you the answer to our Throwback Thursday trivia question. This is maybe the toughest one we've ever had.
By ready to give you the answer, I'm hopeful that either you knew it or Joe told you, because I still have no idea.
I didn't know it, but I think I should have.
Okay.
I've known this and then forgotten about it quickly.
Okay.
But Nathan Paich has been playing for Rochester in the last year or two.
Yeah.
And is still, Joe looked it up, on the active roster. He's been a healthy scratch, Joe says. And I'm just sort of telling you what he told me. So he's the right answer. He was a part of that 2006 run and is still going. Good for him, for the Amherst.
All right. Who else? I was just thinking I should have. The first thing I thought was I should have known that. I just saw him play, but that doesn't make sense because he's been a scratch. And you know who I'm confusing him with is TJ Brennan. This is the level of life in my house. I come home from work, and Owen starts searching for hockey games, and I do what I got to do, get dinner going or whatever, and so I'm not in the room. I walk in and sit down, and there's an AHL game on. Because, like, the NHL doesn't start until 8 that night or something. And so I'm watching, you know, whatever, the Philadelphia Phantoms or Lehigh Valley Phantoms against whatever, and there's TJ Brennan. I'm like, I remember him.
Yes, traded to the Leafs maybe.
That might be right. Anyway, so Nathan Paich is our answer for throwback
Nathan
Thursday
Paich
trivia.
Is our answer.
All right.
And I probably shouldn't do this, but the sixth defenseman that game?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Let's go. Him.
I think I'm good on five.
Janik. Jeff Gilson.
I think so, yeah.
Janik scored.
Right. Janik scored from the blue line for
right,
the point.
Right. Fitzpatrick.
Yep. The penalty.
Right.
No, the penalty.
Oh, Campbell.
Campbell.
Right. Fitzpatrick, I'm thinking of Fitzpatrick.
The goal.
The puck in his skates, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That came after the penalty. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Campbell. I'll bet Ludman's healthy. I think Ludman is there still.
Yep. He played 24 minutes, 27 seconds.
Yeah. So who's out? Talander breaks his arm.
McKee's got the incredible virus from hell.
Teppo.
Right. Kalinin.
Kalinin. That's it. That's it.
That's all, yeah.
Is Kalinin That's it.
Even a regular? Yeah, he is by then, right?
Well,
I know the next year he had a tough play early in the playoffs and just sort of.
The Ottawa series.
Yeah.
Maybe game one of the Ottawa series.
Right. So I don't know if he's a part of that group. You know, in 06 or not. Anyway.
He must have been injured. Because, they're just taking – you could call them and get in.
Right.
They were taking,
right. If Jeff Gilson went in the lineup, then Kalinin would have been in if he were healthy.
Yeah, I think.
I think that's right.
Yeah, he played 14 games in the playoffs for them that year.
Okay.
Or, sorry, 8 games in the playoffs, and then I'm assuming that's an injury. He actually played 4 full seasons before 2005-2006 for the Sabres.
Okay, wow, yeah. Jeez, wow.
2000-2001, he played 79 games.
Good job over here.
Okay, so he might be on the ice for the Kasparaitis goal. I mean, not on the ice necessarily, but on the team. I mean, in the lineup for that series. Joe said he's played 79 games that season.
Yep, 13 playoff games that year, too.
That's how many they had.
Yeah, right.
That's all of them. In 01, Philly was 6 and Pittsburgh was 7.
Yep.
Sabres and Hurricanes tonight, pregame in just over an hour. Sabres GM Jason Botterill will be here with us at 5:30. Next, though, John Clayton talking NFL. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.